Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Let's turn to Amy Carnevale, a government affairs specialist and an elected member of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee. She serves on the state party's executive committee. She served as a leader on the Trump campaign for Massachusetts in 2016 and here in 2020. Amy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me here today.
Amy, I understand you voted this morning. What was it like at your polling place, and how did it feel to cast that vote today?
Yes, I did vote this morning. I voted in my hometown of Marblehead in the historic Abbott Hall, which is home to the famous Spirit of 76 painting. I voted in person because I feel that it's important to take part in our democratic tradition, if possible, in person. So it felt exciting to do it. Election Day is one of my favorite days of the year when it comes along, and it was exciting to do that. I also held signs after I voted in support of our Republican candidates.
So last time in 2016, about a million voters went for President Trump here in the Commonwealth. As a member of the state party, do you have any sense of what to anticipate this time around in terms of Republican turnout and sort of number of votes cast for the president? Will it be more or less the same?
Yeah, so I think we'll see the votes cast as a whole certainly increase this time around, and we're expecting the votes cast for Donald Trump to also increase. That's what we're anticipating, and as part of the Trump leadership campaign here in Massachusetts, that has been our goal, working to increase the vote here in Massachusetts as well as support our friends north of the border in New Hampshire as well.
What do you think has people more mobilized for Donald Trump this time than last time, if we're going to see more votes?
Yeah, so I would say certainly the economy remains a paramount issue for voters supporting President Trump here in the Commonwealth. That was the driving fact. The economy was the driving factor for me in supporting the president 4 years ago, and it continues to be the driving factor in this election.
One of the things that I've been watching and sort of noting over the last year or so is a change in the Mass GOP, especially in its relationship with Governor Baker, really moving away from Charlie Baker as the standard bearer of the Mass GOP and towards President Donald Trump, who is now, for example, the picture on the homepage of the website. You are a strong local supporter of the president. Why that shift, and where does that leave the state party when the traditional standard bearer is the governor?
Well, I'll tell you, I am a Republican who thinks in Massachusetts, who thinks that, you know, we can support both, you know, President Trump at the federal level to focus on federal issues, and Governor Baker here at the state level to focus on those state issues. Certainly the Massachusetts Republican is a different breed of Republican than the Republican you see across the country nationally. And so I recognize the fact that President Trump needs to lead for states such as Montana and the Midwest and Florida, and he is serving as the leader of the entire U.S., whereas Governor Baker is leading constituents here and voters and residents in Massachusetts, and certainly that's a different populace. So I am somebody who sees that you can support different types of Republicans for different offices.
So you've said that one of the big issues for you with President Trump and the reason you support him is the economy. You know, the environment we're all living in right now is the coronavirus pandemic. How do you feel the president has done in handling it specifically as it relates to impact on the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Well, certainly, you know, in terms of the coronavirus, the first thing he did was close the borders. He did that, you know, despite some Democrats who criticized him for doing it. And then he moved to try to get supplies to the states that needed it. He deferred to the governors to lead on the specific responses within the states. And now he is really working to bring back the economy. We just saw the release of the third quarter economic numbers, and they were really startling. Real GDP grew at 7.4%. That was above expectations, and consumer spending rose at 8.9%, which was the largest increase on record. The U.S. has actually recovered two-thirds of the economic output that we lost due to the pandemic. So that's really remarkable numbers. And I think under a Trump administration, another 4 years, we'll certainly continue to see the economy recover to pre-pandemic levels and then continue to grow.
You talked about his decentralized approach to PPE, for example. Before mm-hmm. I spoke with you, we were talking with Senator Elizabeth Warren, who lamented the lack of a centralized federal approach to testing, which arguably that is something where leaving it to every state could really be a problem versus coordinating massive testing capacity across the country. Do you believe the president in any way needs to change his approach to centralized, for example, versus decentralized management of this virus? And if he's reelected, and you do think he needs to change his approach, how do his supporters convince him to make some of those pivots?
Yeah, well, I would point out that the president has supported in another so-called CARES package. So that's additional federal funding that would include funds for increased testing as well as support for our small businesses. He's actually talked about funding in the order of like $1.7 or $1.8 trillion. That's above what Senator McConnell in the Senate has said. And close to even where Nancy Pelosi has been in the House. So the president actually has supported more funding to help our small businesses get through the pandemic. But I think it is a fundamental a difference in the approach to managing the recovery from the pandemic, where President Trump does feel that power should rest with the governors. And you see under the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they do believe of more of a centralized approach. So I do think that's a fundamental difference between the two parties.
I noticed that both you and Senator Warren spoke in a really personal way about what it means to you to vote in person on Election Day. We do have a huge swath of the country that has voted beforehand. And President Trump has called into question whether those votes should be counted if they can't be counted tonight. There is a long tradition of counting votes after Election Day, including for active military folks who live here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Do you support the president's pressure not to count ballots after today? And what about his statement that he might declare victory tonight, even if we're not done counting?
So I do agree that any ballot legally cast should be counted. I think there is there may be some debate in some states or some localities about which ballots in fact are legal, and so that's certainly within the rights of the president or any campaign to question whether a ballot was legally cast. But again, if it was legally cast, 100% it should be counted, and we should wait for that. Like Senator Warren, I expect we may not know the results of the election tonight, and we may have to be patient. And I would also encourage, the American public to be patient and wait for those results. As for the president, declaring victory, I certainly I would defer to his judgment on whether he thinks that the numbers tonight give him confidence to do that. I've been in touch with some campaign staff today, and they certainly know in states like Florida and Pennsylvania, based on the number of people showing up to vote in person, how those voters trend, whether they trend Republican or Democrat. So I think they will have a good sense, even as of this afternoon, how things are looking for the campaign. I will defer to the president on whether he feels confident in declaring victory.
And that is Amy Carnevale, a government affairs specialist and an elected member of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee. Amy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.